The Department of Foreign Affairs describes the humanitarian crisis in Yemen as the worst in the world, with 20 million people in need of assistance. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that Yemen is now in imminent danger of the worst famine the world has seen for decades. BBC international correspondent Orla Geeran has been reporting from Yemen in recent weeks.
Many teachers in Yemen haven't been paid their government salaries in years. At this school, some don't turn up anymore. In one of the classrooms, we find a substitute. Ahmed Raghib, a 9-year-old in a blue shirt, is taking the class. We're told he's the best student in the school. He's full of character, with a ready smile, and he has been blind from birth.
We caught up with Orla Geeran within the last hour, and she told us more about life in Yemen for Ahmed and his classmates.
Well, it's hard to overstate how extreme the needs are in Yemen, even before the conflict began, or before the conflict escalated, and that's 6 years ago now. This was already the poorest country in the Arab world. What has happened since then during these long years of war is that basically the economy has collapsed, the currency has collapsed, food prices have risen by about 140%. So people who were struggling before really have no resources now. And one of the casualties of the war that we looked at on this trip is education. One in five schools across the country are out of use, and about 500,000 children are out of school because of the conflict. But we were told about a school where people, where students were being taught in incredible conditions, and we were told that this was basically a shell. So we thought we were prepared for what we were going to see. But when we came around the corner that morning, myself and my colleagues, and actually saw the building, everybody's jaw hit the ground. It's very hard to capture in words exactly how bad the state of the place is. The building is basically a kind of a latticework of crumbling masonry, but several hundred children arrive every morning. They gather in the schoolyard, they have morning assembly, and then they file into the rubble and literally sit down in the ruins. I mean, there are no walls, there are no chairs, no doors, no floors. It looks completely unsafe. As we were standing there, and there are children in the upper story of this building, we were actually saying to ourselves, is it even safe for them to be upstairs? But this is where they study. This is all they have. And the headmistress said to us, look, we have two terrible choices here. We can either teach in these conditions, or we can deny this generation an education. So we choose to carry on with the danger. And this is a school that is in a frontline area. While we were filming there, we could hear gunfire in the distance. And our main interviewee, Ahmed, who is a wonderful 9-year-old boy who I think has really touched hearts around the world, as we were filming with him, he responded to the sound of gunfire. And Ahmed is remarkable in many ways. He is a stand-in teacher at the school. When teachers don't turn up, he gives classes. And he has been blind from birth, but he is an extraordinarily resilient young boy.
And then we have the kind of scale of child mortality that exists in Yemen at the moment. Every 10 minutes, a child dying from disease in the country. Given the scale of the humanitarian crisis there, Orla, why do you think the UN donor conference failed earlier this week with pledges of just over 1.3 billion euro, less than half the nearly 4 billion needed to finance this year's life-saving programs?
And the aid promised this year is less than the aid promised last year and less than the aid promised the year before. I mean, I think the UN is up against a few factors. Undoubtedly, the global pandemic has had a disastrous effect on economies around the world. It has made governments think about their priorities. For many, it may be easier to cut aid at a distance, cut support for people far away than cut programs in their own country. I think there is also, terrible as it is to say it, I think there is also international fatigue with Yemen. The conflict is about to enter its seventh year. It has become one of those intractable features of the international landscape. And I think there is another important factor, which is that an awful lot of the suffering and the humanitarian need in Yemen is basically hidden from view. It's extremely hard to go there. I mean, many international organizations, not just the BBC, are committed to trying to cover that story. You need to plow in an awful lot of time. This was my sixth trip to the country since the conflict escalated in 2015, but this trip actually took almost 2 years to arrange. So I think it's a combination of things, but it's impossible to overstate how much aid is needed. This really is a matter of life and death, and it's life or death soon. The UN has been warning for months that there is a danger, an imminent danger of famine on a scale the world hasn't seen for decades. It has said Yemen is falling off a cliff. It has said there is a danger of people starving. In fact, it says 2.6 million people are currently a step away from famine. Now, these are words the UN doesn't use lightly and the international aid community doesn't use lightly. There is a very technical definition to be met for famine. But definitely that's on the horizon as far as the UN is concerned. So aid is needed.
Orla, you've reported from several conflicts in your career. How does this one compare? And were you worried for you and your crew's safety while you were reporting there?
No, we didn't have safety concerns. And I have to say this time the situation on the ground was more quiet, if I can put it that way, than during previous trips. So we were not in any sense really worried for ourselves. I mean, we were in some frontline areas, including in the city of Taiz. But the great risk in these places is always for the civilians who are living there day in and day out. One of the reasons we went to Taiz, which is almost a besieged city, is that we had heard about children who were being deliberately targeted by Houthi snipers. And we went and we met children, including a remarkable little girl who was shot in the head and survived, who was deliberately targeted by a sniper. So the risks in these areas are always for defenseless civilians, for women and children. And in that situation in Taiz in particular, there have been hundreds of attacks in recent years, literally hundreds of attacks documented by local human rights workers, where children have been deliberately targeted by snipers. And these are the kind of stories that generally don't tend to be told because people can't get in to report on the real horror of what is happening in Yemen.
BBC International correspondent Orla Geeran.